Fellow Freedom fans, back, David Allen Carmichael here. As you heard Bethany say, this is the Faith and Freedom Show. Before we went on the break, actually before we got a superb call from somebody who went to the meeting in Citrus County, poor thing, he's from Marion County. He had that good meeting in Ocala that happened at 2 p.m., but he went for it, man. 440 people, rough estimate, plus or minus 20 or something like that. So he counted across, he counted the chairs. That's what I do. I go to places and I count the chairs. Went to a funeral the other day. They could seat 240 people. Yes, I counted the rows. So, you know what? This is what you do when you don't have anything else to do. So, okay, that was very interesting. I appreciate him going, and especially giving that message about why is this American Florida company trying to bless foreigners rather than the locals? What do that? Don't they have a duty? Don't they have a duty? Are they just trying to get the bottom dollar? Or are they really looking out for their neighbor? See, that's something we need to do. Now, we shouldn't. There's certain things where you don't use the power of the sword to look out for your neighbor. But then there's certain things that you do use the power of the sword, because the sword is necessary to keep the strongest members of our society from the doing insults and injuries to the weakest members of our society. And when a power company, utility, is something that's very important, because it's about health and safety and things like that. Imagine, you think if somebody can't pay the power bill, you know what's going to happen if they have children? Somebody's going to come kick in their doors and steal their children and rip apart their family because their power bill's not being paid. So when you have the power to ruin somebody's life over not having electricity, oh, by the way, electricity is not something that's necessary in life. It's become, we're so used to it, that it seems as if it's necessary, but it really isn't. Of course, somebody will claim it is, and they'll kick your doors in and steal your children. But what if, I mean, think about it. If it's something that they'll steal your children over, it's something that it ought to be then policed as far as its management. What about this? Should, if you pay taxes, is it better for the government, if there is a regulated or a government activity, to take your tax dollars that they take from you by the power of the sword and then spend the money overseas because they can get a product cheaper? Now, that's a serious outsource. You know, I found out was passports, U.S. passports. You know, those real ID, highly sensitive, secure, got to protect the country from terrorists documents. Where what happened is, it's a company in England was the one who had the contract, because it's their technology, and they subcontracted the task of making your U.S. passports to Thailand. And all, by the way, Thailand is the second largest pirater of these kind of technologies, second only to China. Oh, no. Oh, by the way, as I understand it, they share stuff. So it turned out what they found out was that China had your technology, actually had your coding and everything like that for your passport security stuff. See, it just, and but even worse than that, or same as that, it's bad enough for security purposes. You know, we've got to save the earth, police everybody, get everybody have their real ID because of this very sensitive security issues. And of course, they make our security issues, just make them unsecure. But what they did is they take the money that you're spending, and instead of hiring somebody here to do it, even if it costs more, they're taking the money and paying it overseas so that the person that might want a job here doesn't have a job working on the passports. See, there's something sick going on. You're seeing, I think they're selling one thing to you over the news situation, but in reality, there's something else going on. There's another plan here. That's what's really strange. Hey, something that was in the news that's going to continue to be in the news. It's kind of coming and going. We talked yesterday about the Born in the USA challenge that the Army reservist, he said, hey, I don't want to deploy to Afghanistan because I'm afraid that Mr. Obama is not really qualified because he wasn't born here. And then, of course, he files a suit. And remember, I said that the attorney for Major Stefan Frederick Cook said that, hey, we won. We won. They can tell that there's something wrong with Mr. Obama because we won. We put in this claim and they canceled his orders. Well, I was in the military and I remember. You know what it is? They cancel your orders. Guess what? There's a couple of things that hit me. One is you no longer have a suit. See, it's now moot. It's a moot suit. So that could have been just tactical. We're going to make it a moot suit. And then we're going to smack him or do something. I mean, they just made it a moot suit. Okay. No need for a court case. We've canceled the orders. Now what happened the day afterward, actually before the hearing? The hearing happened yesterday. The hearing happened yesterday, but 2 days ago, after the orders had been canceled, when Major Stefan Frederick Cook went to go back to his job because he's a reservist. So reservists, they get called out to duty, and then they are supposed to have their jobs reserved for them if their person they were working for was a United States employer, which it were. Now, he went back to his job, and they said, oh, Mr. Cook, I'm sorry, we don't have your job anymore. The position that you were filling before you came back, that position does not exist anymore. Oops, clumsy us. And so he came back and suddenly he's out of a job. So it's sort of a backdoor reprisal thing going on, maybe. So so what happened is, so he doesn't have any orders and they didn't win. It just made the suit moot. And so what happened is they said, now he's having reprisal. So, and we've got, we're facing a moot suit. So what they did, a quick amendment to the complaint. But the complaint is in Georgia where he was called to duty. And Mr. Cook, he might even be under the sound of this broadcast. I'm not really sure. He's from Florida. So what the judge said, the district court judge said in Georgia, we just found this out, it just came out in the news today, that he said, we don't have any jurisdiction. If it's a reprisal case now, it's not based upon Georgia, so they've kicked it out of court because they don't have personam or effectively subject matter or personam jurisdiction in the case. So it's kind of a sticky wicket. I think Major Stefan Frederick Cook kind of stuck his neck out. And some who are like very passionate about getting Mr. Obama's birth certificate to be displayed or something like that would go, oh, go, Mr. Cook, go. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Whether or not you disagree with the situation, and I see some suspicious things with regard to this birth certificate thing, but whether or not you suspect it, don't we all have to step back and say, what's the proper way to deal with it, even if we like or not like a certain way of having to deal with it? And that's kind of why I want to always be accountable to deal with these issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Because we have to get back to the reference, or else we're going to find ourselves sticking our neck out into a position that's very dangerous. And ultimately we lose and we make it look bad and we look silly. And then also ultimately it'll actually hurts the cause because it wasn't done well. We have to be very careful, especially in our civil disobedience. It's you got to be very, very careful. I don't know. I may just get back to this. There's something else that was in the news. This was kind of interesting. There was a teen that just got back. Let's see, posted Friday, July 17th. So there was a 17-year-old who just finished sailing around the world in about a 35-foot sailboat, a single-masted sailboat. He was 17 years old. He reached his 17th birthday while he was on the journey, and he just got back. He just pulled into Monterey, California. Fabulous. Now, this is kind of interesting. It told us about some storms that damaged his boat, and he had to pull into Mexico to get something fixed. He had a leak occurring because of a storm. But here's another thing. It says, another frightening moment occurred in the Indian Ocean off Indonesia when Intrepid, that's the sailing boat, was stalked by a suspected pirate boat, and he took evasive action. The intruders fled, though, after he climbed onto the deck of his vessel with a loaded pistol and a flare gun to ward them off. Lawrence Sunderland said he gave his son precise instructions in a tense discussion between the two by satellite phone. I said, load your gun up, and when the boat gets close enough, fire two warning shots over the top of the boat with a flare gun. If it keeps on coming, get ready to go with your real gun. And I said, you shoot to kill, stay out of the line of fire, and be very purposeful in what you do. The teen sailor, look at this. Teen sailor never had to fire a shot, later dumped the gun before entering Mexican waters where it's illegal to carry private firearms. The oldest of seven children, Mr. Sunderland, who plans to write a book about his adventure, was homeschooled and partly raised on a boat. You know, he is a candidate for Child Protective Services to go in and kick in their doors and take them all off to the hoosegow. That's scary, folks. Isn't that honorable? Isn't that awesome? What an awesome story. Good job, Mr. Sunderland. Woo-hoo! Going around the world. That's great. Broke a record. Now there's somebody else who's a little younger, a British sailor, Mr. Mike Purham, a 17, who's probably going to get around the world, and he'll be a little bit younger when he completes his journey. But I think that's kind of neat. So when we come back from this break, what I'm going to do, let me read this thing. This came off the Homeschool Legal Defense Association's webpage, and this is a Florida family. The Smiths, name changed to protect the innocent. An HSLDA member family in Miami received an unexpected note on their front door from a social worker asking them to call this number on the attached business card. The father, a doctor, telephoned as requested. The social worker to whom he spoke asked to meet the family. Dr. Smith requested that the meeting be at a neutral site at a time that would minimize interruptions in his busy work schedule at a medical clinic. I think Mr. Greg Pound might say, don't do it at a neutral place. He'll come in with five sheriffs and take your kids. The social worker refused, and she declared she would arrive at the Smith home the next morning to enter the home and interview the children. That's a quote. To enter the home and interview the children. Dr. Smith then asked what the allegations were. The social worker refused to answer, but indicated she knew that the family homeschooled. Here's the big red flag. She knew that they homeschooled, so she'd be there. Sure enough, when the social worker showed up at the Smith's doorstep the next morning, she again refused to explain what the allegations of the family were. Chris Clicker is going to explain to this in this after this break why this matters. This clearly violated the federal law, which states they must reveal allegations at the initial time of contact. So she's operating after a federally funded child protection scheme. It's a funding stream, baby. The social worker also did not have a search warrant because there was really nothing, no cause, folks. This is just, I'm the social Gestapo. And this is sad. There's probably some good faith social workers out there. But these renegades, I mean, this stuff's really happening. So Mrs. Smith initially refused to let her to enter the home. This prompted the social worker to call two police officers, which I say is a good thing. With this intimidation, Mrs. Smith allowed the social worker to start talking to the children on the front porch. During the interview, the social worker went so far as to lift up the shirt of the Smith's 9-year-old daughter. That's assault, which greatly embarrassed the girl. Yeah. Later, the family learned that the allegations had nothing to do with the 9-year-old, but she's pulling up this young girl's shirt. Senior counsel Chris Klicka took the call and asked the phone to be handed to the social worker. The social worker refused to talk to the lawyer. So he said, well, put me on the speakerphone. He began to explain to the social worker how she was violating federal law by refusing to tell what the allegations were. And then, of course, he continues to explain to this that this, you know, basically explained to the social worker what her limits were. Next thing she knows, the social worker is telling the police officers to handcuff Mr. Smith. So it started to escalate. Hey, we come back. We're going to listen to Mr. Chris Klicka explain to you some of the things that HSLDA faces trying to protect Floridians from some of this renegade social worker thing. This is scary, folks. This we've got to get back on track, folks. We got to get going. We got to get some work. Check out our website, faithfreedoms.org. Keep tuning in to the 104.3 FM, The Eagle. And our number here is 888-850-1872. We shall return with Chris Klicka, HSLDA.